The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord. So I guess when you look at the Gospel and you hear what Jesus says are people that are blessed and those who are to be cursed, it really raises questions about what it means to be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus. And the more I thought about this week, and especially last night, the more I realized that there's a lot here that I don't really understand. So after Mass, if a couple of you would take the time to explain to me what this means, I would very much appreciate it. But let's begin by looking at the way Luke should be understood. Last week, I listened to the sermon that Monsignor Connolly gave about Luke. Luke is understood as maybe the physician. Maybe he was a physician. He wrote beautiful Greek and all of that. And it may be the case that he had a deep compassion for people who were hurting, all right? If you look at Mark is on a rescue mission. He's always saving people with great miracles. Matthew, notice how they, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the way we memorize the four Gospels. Matthew's a great teacher. He's the one that's got these long sermons throughout the Gospel. John, the Gospel of John, Jesus is the one who unites everything. He's the great high priest. He brings. But Luke is the one who is compassionate. And maybe the very setting of this gospel is a hint to his compassion. If you look at Matthew and if you look at Mark, those gospels, the setting for the Sermon on the Mount, or the setting, better, more accurately, for the Beatitudes, Jesus begins by being alone on a mountain, and then these Beatitudes are presented. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is with his disciples, and with them he comes down from the mountain, not this place elevated that would be hard to climb and all. He comes down to the plain, the flat area where everybody, he comes down to where the people are. He wants to be with the people. And the people came because, And they came from great distance. Tyre and Sidon was pagan territory. So they came from some distance to see him. Why? Because they were hurting. They needed healing. They needed a word of hope. There were quite a few people that weren't there. And these were people who were perhaps feeling pretty good, people who were in power, maybe people who were part of the occupying force of the Romans, people who were the foot that was on the neck of the Jews. Could have been the case. So we see this setting is different in Luke. And one of the things that I think is at the heart of the Beatitudes is things are not the way they look. Somebody referred to them, especially in Luke, where you've got the four blesseds and the four woes, as the great reversals, the great reversals. So you could put it this way if you wanted to say it. In our own day, we could say, woe to you who are well-educated, who are in fine positions, for the time may come when you'll be out of work. Woe to you who live sheltered lives, for you will not see Christ among the poor. And it goes on to say, blessed are you who are drug addicts, someday you'll be clean. So, you know, you get this idea of reversing things, changing things, so on. I think there's even a better way, at least from my point of view, of how to look at the reversals. I wrote these down. And here's another way to phrase them. Blessed are you who are well-to-do, rich in money and power and talent or time, because you can do so much more for the poor. You can lift the yoke of the oppressed. Or another one. Blessed are you who are full now, who are fit and well-fed, because you are strong enough to feed the hungry, to touch empty stomachs with compassion. Or my last one here is, blessed are you who laugh now, because you can bring the joy of Christ to others, to those whose days are woven with tears. So there are a lot of ways to take these, and I think in recent years I've seen a lot of different versions that are given. Pope Francis has his own version of the Beatitudes. Let me mention a couple of them. Blessed are those who remain faithful while enduring evils inflicted on them by others, and forgive them from their heart. Blessed are those who look into the eyes of the abandoned and the marginalized and show them compassion. Blessed are those who protect and care for our common home, and so on. Another version you can get online that's rather interesting is more of an application to our own personal lives. So you say the poor in spirit, live simply. You don't have to have all the answers. You know that you need help from others. Don't wear masks. Happy are those who mourn. Show your feelings. Cry without embarrassment. Share with others your hurts and concerns. Blessed are those who are humble. Don't always have to prove yourself. Be able to laugh at yourself. Call forth the best in others. Know how to give a compliment to somebody else. It doesn't take anything away from you. It's not a zero-sum game. And so on. You can go through all of these. But it's a different view of what it means and what it takes. So let me kind of draw some wisdom from three stories that have meant a lot to me. One of them actually involves a rabbi in Poland who apparently learned a great lesson from two drunks. He went into a bar. It's part of the ministry of a rabbi, I guess. Don't laugh, it was also the ministry for St. Dominic. They said that he went into bars and argued till the middle of the night with heretics. Well, this rabbi goes in and he sees two drunks. And they were, as you might say, they were gloriously in their cups. And the one was talking to the other and saying in various ways, he says, one asked the other, do you love me? And the other one said, of course I love you. I love you from the heart. And then he asked, can you tell me what hurts me? And the other one replied, you're drunks now. So there's, you know, they say in vino veritas, in wine there's the truth. Not necessarily. In wine you could say all kinds of dumb things. But in wine you say what you're feeling. So he says here in reply, tell me what hurts me. He says, how would I know what hurts you? I'm not you. And then he replied, well, then you don't really love me. How can you love me if you don't know what hurts me? The second way to put it. I remember, and if I told the story before, there's some that really mean a lot to me. A student of mine at USC some years ago who was very well off. He was one of the blesseds. Came from a good family. He was doing great in school, had a great future ahead of him, all of this. Very sensitive kid. He comes into my office and he asks me one day, he says, and he's very troubled. He says, why am I so blessed? I don't know why. I see other people so on that they just don't have the advantages I've had. And I remember pausing for a moment and I said to him, I said, I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know why you're so blessed. But I think a much better question would be, what ought you to do with your blessings? What is it that you can do for others? And when you choose your major, you do the thing that you need to do, go ahead and be grateful and share the wealth. And finally, I find a lot of wisdom in the challenges that are presented in Peanuts. So here's one that I found the best. Because I think we feel the tension. A lot of us would like to be as wealthy as Bill Gates and as holy as Mother Teresa. Linus and Peanuts said, I've decided to be a very rich and famous person who doesn't really care about money and who is very humble, but who still makes a lot of money and be very famous, but a very humble and rich and famous person. And a wise Charlie Brown says, good luck. So you've got that tension. I've got the tension. I've often wrestled myself. I looked at one of my classes recently and I said, you know, you people, for the most part, you're really well positioned. You wouldn't be in this university if there wasn't money. And you're probably going to be able to get a job pretty quickly after you get out of here and so on and so forth. Why am I here working with the people that are well-to-do and well-positioned? I should be somewhere else. I should be doing something else as a priest and as a Christian. Good luck. I think I'm called to do what I'm doing, but there are tensions within what I'm doing. And I think all of us can find those same tensions from one way or another. And when we look at our report card, we've got questions. So my prayer is, let's help each other on this journey. Let's find ways, whether they're woes or whether they're blesseds, that we can do what the Lord needs and what others need. I think that's what the Beatitudes are about. Let's pray for the wisdom to embrace them.